This podcast is brought to you by Voice and Vision, bringing help, hope, and healing to individuals, families, and communities affected by mental illness, addictions, and disabilities in southeastern Pennsylvania. Financial support for this podcast is provided by a Veterans Trust Fund grant from the Pennsylvania Department of Military and Veterans Affairs.
Welcome to Untold Valor, a podcast with a unique focus on veterans, featuring stories of courage, recovery, perseverance, and strength. Listen to hear veterans share their perspectives on what it's like to battle mental health challenges, combat addictions, and overcome other adversities unique to those who have served.
Welcome back into another edition of Untold Valor. We're going to have Ricardo Birdsong back on with us. He was on a couple of episodes back, and we're having Ricardo back because he brought up something we really wanted to dive into a little bit further. Ricardo, first of all, thanks for being here again with us. We appreciate your time.
It's my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Reverend Ben's here with me as well. And we're going to talk a little bit about the race conversation of this, getting help, mental health, just conversations around, is it easier for people, you know, to talk with someone of a similar background, right? So, you know, a similar ethnicity, does it make it easier to open up and have those conversations? And Ricardo, you shared with us the prior time you were here that you were involved with a group called Race-Based Stress and Trauma. So tell us a little bit about that real fast, and then we'll go from there.
This group is called Race-Based Stress and Trauma, and it's part of the VA system. Just let you know, when I socked to see a psychiatrist through the VA for dealing with issues, they say, hey, we have this group. Would you be interested in that? Because mm-hmm. they knew I was African-American. Mm-hmm. And so I said, yes. And the way the group is, it's two different components. One is a 12-week group where you meet for 12 weeks and there's one person and they go over different things, you know, as far as racism that you encountered in the military, racism that you may have in the medical system, or even within the VA. And it's a 12-week program you go through. But then they also have what's called a drop-in program where we used to be on Tuesdays, where you can just call in and just talk to each other and the therapist.
And I think that's what kind of decided to have us bring you back on to talk a little bit about that. Because Reverend Ben, obviously, you know, you were, you know, in the service as well, and we were having that conversation. Does it make a difference, you know, if you're experiencing some troubles, whatever they might may be, big or small, does it make a difference, you know, talking with someone of, I guess, authority, whether that be a doctor or whatever, that has a similar background?
I can only talk from my experience. And my experience, both personally myself mm-hmm. and also with a family member, is yes, it makes a difference. When I was in the military, the first time that I sought out mental health professional help, I was teamed with a person. It was good and helped me get through the issues. He happened to be a Caucasian male there. Mm-hmm. As I went, the next time I went through, I had some deeper issues that I had to deal with. And it just so happened that the provider that was provided for me was a female African-American and a male African-American. And my own personal experience was, it made a world of a difference, because we had something in common, not only our being Black, but just that and I just felt more comfortable talking to them, and they felt more comfortable asking me deep questions that I felt the previous therapist, a Caucasian male, that he wouldn't delve within that. That's just my experience myself. And for my personal experience with my son, I have a family member who, while I was in the military, he needed behavioral health help.
Right.
So we got him help talking to some different therapists at different times, and it helped getting along the way. But as he got older, you know, he started experiencing these again. And he asked me, he said, Dad, can I talk to an African American or Black therapist? He said, I want to talk to someone. Could I find a Black therapist to talk to? It was difficult for me to find one, but once I did find one, it made a world of a difference with my son. He was able to open up. And I would literally say, the previous 5 years that he'd been going through therapy on and off, He spent 5 months with this lady, and it changed his life around because he said that I was able to talk to her and open up. So that's just my experience on a personal level for myself and with my child about the difference it makes having a therapist or talking someone to who looks like you.
Absolutely. You know, I was thinking about how, you know, when we do talk to someone who looks like us, it is easier for two reasons. It's not only easier for the client, but also for the therapist. Because I noticed in my experience, when I dealt with Caucasian therapists, I'm also a therapist in training myself. There's kind of they want to kind of be deal with you gingerly and gently. Certain issues that they may not want to address because of the barriers there, culture. Whereas a black therapist would ask questions and take a dare and be able to dig deeper without having to without fear of how it would be received. This is my experience in dealing with this situation. Those of us who are alike can better identify with certain areas.
No, I mean, it makes sense, you know, and we were talking, you know, Reverend Ben, about being in the military in general and just how it's changed over the last, you know, 20, 30, 40 years. And Ricardo, you were in for 30 years again, to remind listeners, correct?
Yes, my retirement people said 32 years, 8 months, and 9 days, but I wasn't counting.
There you go. So how did that change? How did that concept, I guess, of just, you know, racial disparity change through those 30 years, right? First going in and having, you know, maybe, you know, a superior officer or whatever, dealing with one who is of a different race, was it easier or more difficult? You know, that kind of thing. Both of you could probably share some experiences or at least thoughts on that.
That's a great question. And through the 30 years I was in the military, the makeup of senior officers changed, I'd say, dramatically. When I was in boot camp going through stuff, I saw a senior enlisted person wearing khakis. Is that the word you said? It's like a senior, a chief. And I was like, whoa, I was blown away. So I saw a senior enlisted person through the time that I was in the military. Then I became an officer. And when I became an officer, I would say that I was always usually one or two people, whether on my ship, at my command, in a group, everything. It was always one or two. It was a small minority officers. But as I grew further, and it also felt like, I'm going to be honest with you, going through my military career when I was an officer, even though I did very well getting promoted up. Once I got to like the senior rank, a middle rank before I got to senior, I look around and there weren't a lot of officers who looked like me. This one particular community that I was in, every year, all the leaders get together at this symposium and then they take a picture and they send it out and say, this is what your community looks like. Well, when I was a junior officer, I would look at that and I say, there's nobody in that community who looks like me. At the time, honestly, it was mostly Caucasian males, a few Caucasian males, and hardly any minority representation. So me and other officers who are my color, like we talk about that. It's like they send this out and say, this is your community. It doesn't represent us. So in some ways, I guess it wasn't blatant racism, but it was in a way sending something out says, this is what your community looks like, and your community looks nothing like you.
Hmm. Yeah, and imagine, but hopefully that obviously has changed through the years, right? You've kind of seen that community grow.
Yes, that's I started yet on in. Well, by the time that I ended my career,
yeah,
after 30 years, and I was a senior officer, I was part of this group, and they would take pictures. And I look at the picture now, and it's African American males, African American females, Caucasian females, Asian. So I would say in the 30 years that I've served in the military, it's changed from no representation to almost full representation. That was something I would have very proud and very happy to see
right
at the end of my career.
Yeah, absolutely.
But going through that during it wasn't real easy all the time going through.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah. Well, and so, and I think that's kind of the point of bringing you back on with the podcast again, was just to kind of talk about, and with Reverend Ben as well, is just to kind of talk about, does it make it easier? And sometimes when veterans are struggling, maybe they just don't feel like it's already tough enough to ask for help, right? Period. As a human being, I think sometimes it's just tough for us to ask for help, but then it makes it even harder when you have that barrier of maybe someone just can't relate to me.
Yes, from my personal experience and experience talking to other people, it is more difficult. Within the African-American community, unfortunately, there's kind of a stigma attached to mental health. Mm. One of the things that also helped deliver me from that thought, that I have a pastor. And one time my pastor, in a message, he told people, he said, hey, and this church is predominantly African-American. He said, God made therapists. He said, I'm the pastor of your church and I see a therapist. So don't ever let anybody say that it's against God or against somebody or something that's bad thing to see a therapist. Your pastor sees one. And that just alleviated things for me, where I felt comfortable opening up to talk to someone about my mental health. So it was hard at the beginning. And then, yeah, that's my experience.
That's fantastic. Reverend Ben, anything else you'd like to chime in on from this aspect?
Yeah, I just want to say that's fantastic. By your pastor opening up like that, it's really good, because more churches need to do that to lift the stigma of mental health and mental health services, because we all could use a therapist. Even therapists have therapists. So, yes, it's very important that we keep that in mind. And me as a pastor as well, you know, I have a past and I don't hide it from people, because I do believe that if I give them disclosure of my experiences, strength and hopes, and I think it can touch somebody who's struggling with something today. We all going through, but we share our experiences with other people, especially as leaders in the community or in the church. It can help lift that stigma of mental health and, the fear of getting help.
If listening to this podcast, if one veteran or somebody comes through listening to this and seeks out to get mental health, I feel like that this is well done, because my life, once I opened up and started talking to people about my mental health, my life turned around. So this is my hope and my prayer that someone who's listening to this, who may be struggling or their family member struggling, to reach out and get help.
Well, there's no better way to end it than that right there. So that's a fantastic message. Thank you so much for coming back on, guys, and talking about the differences there from this, you know, kind of specific aspect of it. So again, thanks for your time, Ricardo. We certainly appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
You've been listening to Untold Valor by Voice and Vision. We hope you found the information and resources discussed today helpful. As always, thank you for listening and for your support. Remember to stay connected with us through our various social media platforms, including Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. Don't forget to visit the website, voiceandvisioninc.org. That's voiceandvisioninc.org, where you can sign up for our blog and find free resources and information on upcoming events, webinars, workshops, and get support. You can also access our free help and hope guide for individuals and families struggling with substance use and addiction. If someone you know is struggling, please reach out for help, because you and your life matter. Remember, the National Suicide and Crisis Lifeline is available to you at any time by dialing 988. We are all ambassadors of hope and recovery. And if you want to share your story, please contact us. Compere Corps is also looking for veteran mentor volunteers and veteran participants. To find out more information about Compere Corps, please call 610-541-0790. That's 610-541-0790. You can find all the links and contact information for the resources mentioned on today's episode by checking the description and the show notes section of your app. Thank you again for tuning in and for your support. Until next time, this has been Untold Valor.